In an interview or a, I guess a feature on CNN with Dr. Sanjay Gupta, President Bill Clinton revealed that over the last almost year, thanks to a new diet, basically a vegan diet, he's dropped more than 20 pounds. He's given up what he considered the unhealthy foods. No eggs, no dairy, no oils of any kind, and gone strictly to a plant-based diet, and he's dropped 20 pounds. Joining me on the program, she's been a guest numerous times before, Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant. How are you?
I'm great, Tom. How are you doing today?
I am excellent as summer's coming to a conclusion. What do you think of Bill Clinton? It's got to be a lot of positive news out of this that he's dropped 20 pounds, but what are your concerns about how he's doing it?
Well, I'm very concerned with his decision over becoming a vegan because I made that same decision back about 20 years ago, and unfortunately, it backfired on me and made me much, much sicker in the long run. And I understand his enthusiasm in the beginning because I bought into that same enthusiasm. In the beginning, most vegans will report that they feel better, and that's the alluring part of a vegan diet is that for some reason, and nobody knows exactly why, it could be some sort of placebo effect. But in the beginning phases of a vegan diet, many people, not all, but many people do feel improved health. So 1 year into a diet is no way to determine whether or not a diet is healthy. You must look at civilizations for thousands of years to be able to determine whether a diet is healthy. And a vegan diet, unless Bill Clinton's ancestors were vegan, and his children and grandchildren are vegan, and they can prove to me that they're healthy, unfortunately, in 1 year, you cannot determine the health of a diet.
How long were you on a diet based around veganism?
I was 9 years a vegan, and I did
Nine years?
And I did it initially in order to help save my life because I was deathly, deathly ill with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, multiple chemical sensitivities, ADD. I had, I was basically disabled for 9 years and fought long and hard. And one of the decisions I made, and it was the wrong decision, was to become a vegan. And I used to teach classes, Tom. I was one of the first people here in Canada to teach classes on the benefits of a vegan diet. I really, really bought into it. You know, I was growing wheatgrass and sprouts, and I was touting all sorts of, green food supplements, and I worked in that industry for a little while even. And now, of course, I look back, and I'm literally eating crow.
Now, when you said it was about, at what point, was it 9 years, did you refuse to accept that your body was maybe getting worse? At what point did you realize this is not the healthiest thing for me?
What happened was, is initially I felt better, and
initially, when you say, was it a year? Was it? Did you feel good for a couple of years?
Yeah, like a year or two, maybe. And it was sort of even questionable at that. But the fact is that I felt better, and even if it were 10% better, it was still something that I said, "Oh my God, thank God, I feel a little bit better." You know, I certainly wasn't 100% better, but I was, able to function. And so that's why I decided, I'm going to teach classes on this because I thought, oh, this is a wonderful revelation, and so on and so forth. And back in the 90s, when I was vegan, I knew very, very little about nutrition, and if I had known then, what I knew now, I would never have become vegetarian. And that's what I notice with vegetarians is they really, really believe, like I did, that they know a lot about nutrition, and then fundamentally they don't know a lot about nutrition. And this is the dangerous aspect of veganism in particular. Vegetarianism, where people might be eating eggs and dairy, they may be okay, but I rarely meet anybody who's following a lacto-ovo vegetarian diet that's healthy either. In fact, people following low-fat diets in general tend to get sick. It's just the vegans, unfortunately, are the sickest people I see.
It must be interesting because, as you said, it's you feel good after, even if you feel good after 3 months or 6 months or a year, you feel a little better, but long term, that here you are, you're almost I'm just trying to think of the word, you're like a disciple. Here you are thinking, I found the answer. I have got the answer if everyone only followed this. If you feel bad, you should do what I do, because I'm a year into this and I've never felt better, or I've been very sick with fibromyalgia, or in your case, chronic fatigue syndrome as well. And look at what it's done for me. Imagine if you were healthy, what it could do for you. It must be interesting to go from that sort of, you know, like a vegan disciple. And then all of a sudden, you know, years later, you're like, that is, I can't believe how wrong I was.
No, and you know, what happened with me, of course, is in psychology, they call it cognitive dissonance, that, you know, when you're presented with new information after believing one belief system for a while, many, many people are not willing to admit that they were conned or duped, right?
Oh, and this we see this in so many scientific disciplines, especially.
Oh, absolutely. And I when I caught on, Tom, I went, oh, my God, I had this huge epiphany, and I said, you know, I have to right a wrong. I can't erase this from my past for having endorsed it. And so this is why, one of the reasons why I'm especially sympathetic towards vegetarians. I really feel badly that they have fallen into this mindset, hook, line, and sinker. And, you know, I'm not the only recovering vegan out there. There are thousands of us out there warning people not to choose this diet. But because the belief system, because it's so dogmatic, and almost religious-like, they hold on to it. And you know, like a pit bull grabbing onto a bone, you know, they just hold on to it and they don't want to let it go out of possibly pride or what have you. But they really need to accept the fact that once generally they become vegan, yes, you can get better initially. But what you need to pay very close attention to are the psychological side effects that happen when you're malnourished. And the first symptoms that surface during any case of malnutrition are going to be psychological symptoms like poor memory, fatigue, depression, anxiety, sleep problems. When you're on a low-fat diet, you're going to start getting a sluggish thyroid, so you're going to get cold hands and cold feet. You're not getting enough animal fat in your diet, so the skin can become very dry, the hair very listless. These are all signs of malnutrition.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about it being almost religious, but when you think and compare, you know, our religious beliefs and what we spiritually believe in, you know, there's a higher power or what my purpose here on earth is. And then you think about all the customs we do surrounding food, you know, and how we come around a table and we break bread, and how there are so many common bonds between the food experience man has and the religious experience man has. And that so many religions also have food rules. And that there's so many ways that we talk about, you know, food. Oh my God, you know, we talk about and we salivate over food just like we can over religion, that the two cross over each other so well. And when you have, you know, food is life, that we have to eat to stay alive. And when you believe that this is making you a better life, when you believe that this is making you a better person, it is almost religious, that
right.
This
and
is your salvation.
It's more difficult to challenge.
Yeah.
Somebody's diet than it is to challenge their religion, and that's very true. People hold on to these diets. They're too proud to admit that they've been duped, you know, and we have to, you know, grow up and get out of that mode, because too many people are sick today and too many vegans are suffering today. They don't see it initially like I didn't see it initially. It took me 9 long years to realize that the diet was making me sicker. I just couldn't believe that it was the diet because everybody kept telling me, oh, it's such a healthy diet, you know.
Good for you. It's so healthy. I wish I had the discipline you had. That's what probably, you know, the reaction is when you hear people talk about, you know, diets. It's like, oh my God, I wish I had that discipline. Oh my God. And to think, you know, you had this discipline for 9 years.
Right. But I was deathly, deathly ill. And I really, really believed, you know, that this was something that was going to be help me get better. And that's what people told me. And I know that these people had really good intentions, just like every vegan out there. They have very, very good intentions, but they just are so, so incredibly, dangerously misinformed. And another other side effects I worry about with regards to a vegan diet, of course, is the lack of libido, infertility, not just the mood disorders, but and all you have to do is look at the literature to see, and they'll look at the literature and they'll only look at the pro-vegetarian science. And this science, unfortunately, is very shoddy science. You know, they're comparing themselves to people in North America who smoke and drink, you know, and they think that they're healthier for it because they're vegetarians. And they cannot make those comparisons. And I got fooled into believing a lot of the pro-vegetarian science. But when you really dig into the science, you start to see the risks, such as the women who are following vegetarian diets, unfortunately, can become infertile. If they do become pregnant, unfortunately, the poor children, they are much more at risk for developing learning disabilities. Their brains are not fully developed. They're more at risk for developing Down syndrome. All sorts of devastating conditions can happen because of following a diet like vegetarianism or especially veganism.
Pam Killeen's our guest. She's a nutritional consultant. We're talking about Bill Clinton converting to veganism after years of a failed diet. And Pam, when I come back, I'll get more on your epiphany and then what the vegans are missing out on. Isn't there just a pill? Isn't there just something I can take? Can I have a supplement to make up for what I'm losing? But I'll get all those answers when we come back. 10:17 is our time. My name's Tom McConnell. This is News Talk 610 CKTV. 21 minutes after 10 o'clock. A few days ago, Bill Clinton revealed in an interview with Dr. Sanjay Gupta on CNN that he was ditching his old dangerous lifestyle after having two heart operations and adopting a vegan diet, which he thought was much healthier for his heart. And in the process, he's also lost about 20 pounds. Nutritional consultant Pam Killeen joins us, and she's concerned certainly about this vegan diet. And because you described him before as a recovering vegan, and you were on this diet for 9 years, do you remember the epiphany you had? And what, I mean, were you reluctant at first? Did you deny it at first? Or did it just strike you like a piece of bacon out of the blue that, you know what, maybe I should be eating some animal-based products?
Well, you know what happened? When my body was actually craving eggs for some reason, and I know the reasons now I would have been craving eggs, but I was craving eggs and feeling absolutely guilt-ridden by it. And so I started to eat eggs and gradually started eating some pastured buffalo and other similar foods. So, you know, as soon as I got back on the animal foods, of course, my health improved. And then a couple of years into it, I actually saw a presentation by Sally Fallon from the Weston A. Price Foundation, and it just absolutely came to light. After the presentation, I went up to Sally and I said, thank you for helping me understand that, you know, all we really need to do is return to eating three square meals a day. When before World War II, you know, we sat down religiously. There you go. It's religious. It was religious for us to sit down and eat three square meals a day. And when we ate three square meals a day, we were actually healthy. And at that time in our history, of course, we weren't meat phobic, egg phobic, dairy phobic, cholesterol phobic, fat phobic. We didn't have any of the food phobias that we have today. And so that's what we need to return to, is to return to those very basic elements of diet. And unfortunately today, the food fads of our time are the actual fads that are making us much, much sicker. And that even includes Canada's Food Guide as well.
So what is it that a vegan is missing out on? Because isn't there an ability among plant-based foods to, I mean, I can get all my carbohydrates, I can get fiber, I can get protein in the right combinations. There's some foods, avocados have lots of fat in them. What is it about a plant-based diet that there must be something lacking then?
Well, I mean, if we wanted to be monkeys, apes, and gorillas, we can be on a plant-based food diet. We're not monkeys, apes, or gorillas. Their brains did not develop. Ours did. And what helped our brains develop, of course, was the fact that we were eating animals. We were eating animal complete protein, and we were eating what are known as the long-chain fatty acids that allowed for our brain to develop. And unfortunately, Bill Clinton is being totally misinformed into thinking that we can survive on plant-based foods when, you know, historically, there's just no precedent for this. There are no cultures anywhere in the world that for generations have lived on a vegan diet. There's no evidence of it anywhere. Unfortunately, what we have today is we have people who are taking a shot in the dark. They're forming cults, even here in North America, and following a vegan diet and thinking it's going to be healthy. And there's no historical precedence for it at all. So, you know, Bill Clinton, what he hasn't been told are some of the things I've already pointed out, of course, but he hasn't been told that where people, when they switch, when he's listening to people like Dean Ornish and other people like that, they are pulling a lot of processed foods out of people's lives. So they're pulling out sugar, flour, they're pulling out processed vegetable oils, and then displacing those very toxic foods for plant-based foods that are whole, at least. And then you do feel some improvement. But it's not, you can't say, scientifically, you cannot say it's because it's a plant-based food diet. What happens is they're pulling out a lot of the foods that are causing the problem in the first place. And I can tell you unequivocally that an old-fashioned food like meat, butter, eggs cannot be causing a modern disease. It's just illogical.
So, in the one sense, they're taking out and putting restrictions on, which some of them, as you, you're saying that some of them are good. Some of the restrictions and some of the replacing of the processed food, and Clinton, we know, is a big fan of the fast food. So taking that out isn't the bad part. It's the total restriction where if you replaced it with whole organic, let's say, meats or animal products, that in the long run is the damaging part.
Right, you don't want to remove the animal foods. There's no history in there's no history where animal foods have caused disease. The diseases we see today are caused because we've displaced the animal foods, and people don't see it that way. I certainly didn't see it that way in the 90s. I thought, oh my goodness, I'm eating all these animal foods and they've made me sick. But I didn't logically think, oh my goodness, I'm Irish and Scottish descent. My ancestors historically were always very healthy. How could it possibly be old-fashioned foods that made me this sick with chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and multiple chemical sensitivities? I didn't put that connection together. When I came out of the womb, Tom, in the 1960s, I was on a high-carbohydrate diet. From birth, I was on a high-carbohydrate diet. And I made the mistake of thinking that it was the animal foods that made me sick rather than the carbohydrates. And so what I ended up doing, the mistake I made, was thinking, you know, it was the animal foods that made me sick, not the carbohydrates. And then I go on a diet that's even higher in carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. And it's no wonder, in the long run, it made me much sicker.
All right, so Darko and Etobicoke, you got a question for Pam or something, you got a statement?
I just have some comments to make, you know. Okay. I mean, I was up near Port Elgin and happened to see two deer in the out the edge of the forest. And when you look at wild animals, they always look normal. I mean, you walk the beaches and really the human race, you can really be horrified at the different shapes that we have, whereas, you know, so basically, we're not eating a natural diet, and I agree with her. I think, you know, animal base is the basis of our human diet. You know, I don't think there's a culture in the world that historically was on a vegan diet. I think there's some vegetarians,
right? No, you're absolutely right. There are no cultures anywhere in the world that have followed a vegan diet for generations. You're absolutely right about that.
And I called them before, so I switched to eating a lot more meat, and I've lost weight. I was never really big overweight, but I lost about 15 pounds, and, you know, I've been camping the last couple of weeks where I've been eating more bread, and that kind of stopped, or I've raised up, you know, during the week. My weight drops down a little bit when I'm not eating bread and that, and I've cut back a lot on the juices. I haven't drunk pop in 4 years. But I would say, you know, if you look at the diet, it's much easier for us to over drink sweet drinks.
Yes.
And it's very easy to eat bready, cakey stuff. And I don't think any of us really overeat when it comes to real meat. You know, no. If you ask people, it's very difficult. I mean, I eat eggs for breakfast, but going during the day when I'm working, if I don't bring the meat with me, if I go to a restaurant or that, you just can't order that. They're giving you, you know, whether it's, you know, fries or your burger's got bread, it's got whatever sweet dressing on it with barbecue sauce. You know, that's where I see the big change in our diet and why I think a lot of people are overweight. And it's not just people, like I'm in my mid-40s, but when I see people who are in their early 20s, they change in the belly they have that didn't have when I was growing up as much. So it's just getting worse and worse. And the reason why, I think, is, you know, we're not drinking the 7-ounce pops or juices. Now it's
a big gulp. It's a double big gulp. It's a 24-ounce extra large at Tim's. Darko, I just got to leave it there, but I got a break coming up. Pam, when we come back, I'm intrigued about, isn't there an ability to just replace what we have? Can I just take a pill? I want to be as pure and clean, and my body's a temple. Can I just replace it? I have protein supplements. I have essential fatty acids. I can get this in omega-3s and omega-6s and omega-9s. So tell me if that's possible, if I can just replace what is missing in animals in a pill form. 10:29 is our time. News is next. My name's John McConnell. Nutritional consultant Pam Colleen joining us on the program today to talk about Bill Clinton and his conversion to a vegan diet and her concerns with that. This is News Talk 610 CKTV. 10:35 is our time. Nutritional consultant Pam Colleen joining us on the program talking about the news that Bill Clinton has gone on a vegan diet, lost 20 pounds, which is great. And Pam has concerns that in the short run, being, you know, a year, maybe 2 years, that he'll feel healthier, that it'll provide the benefits, but in the long run will not provide the body with what it needs. Right now, Tracy and Welland, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. You have a question for Pam?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I suffer from fibromyalgia, and I've tried to help the symptoms with my diet. I've recently been drinking a lot of soy milk to get the B12 and vitamin D that I'm deficient in. And I was just wondering if there were any health concerns I need to have by doing that.
Yeah, I would not recommend soy milk. Again, that's another one that I bought into hook, line, and sinker back in the 90s. I believed in the health of soy foods, and I absolutely would discourage you from consuming soy milk. The form of vitamin D that is in these synthetic milks, if you will, your soy milk, almond milk, rice milks, they put vitamin D2 in these products. And the dairy industry used to add vitamin D2 until they found out it was toxic. So then they put it into all these fake dairy products. So, you know, you don't want to be drinking soy milk. You know, most of the soy products we have in the marketplace today are actually a waste product. They're a byproduct of the soybean oil industry, and they turn a lot of these soy foods into a value-added product when really they should be compost. So, you know, just stay away from these foods. Always remember, you want to eat foods that a caveman would recognize, essentially. So, you know, for me, my gold standard is going to be raw dairy products from a local farmer where the cow is out on grass. That's your gold standard. But absolutely no, I would not be taking in any extra estrogen by consuming soy foods.
Can I add in something, Pam? Certainly not expertise, but what about instead, if not from a cow, is a goat milk substitute okay?
Yes, that would be fine too. It's just a little more difficult to find raw goat's milk here in southern Ontario.
When you say raw milk...
We're going to see more and more of them, though.
Okay, and can it be a raw milk product, or does it have to be raw milk in itself? Can it be raw milk, for instance, cottage cheese or yogurt?
Well, here's the gold standard is going to be to get it from a farmer who, you know, is fermenting the foods properly and so on, and it's starting from a raw source where the cow is grass-fed. If you can't quite get that gold standard in the grocery store, yes, what you want to do is get a high-fat cottage cheese or a high-fat yogurt, kefir. All of these foods can be found. They're not as good as finding it from a local farmer, but they're the next best thing, and that may be the most convenient source for you. So I would just as soon over soy, rice, almond milk, so I would be grabbing for, if you don't have raw milk, I would be grabbing for an organic version of milk, which is high in fat. And if you can buy the Harmony milk, Harmony has the non-homogenized, but it is pasteurized, unfortunately, dairy product. And you can find Harmony products in most health food stores.
And I think Harmony, if I remember, I think it's in my grocery store in the organic section.
Yeah, it probably is, and I know a lot of the farmers actually who produce that product, and I know the cows are outside, so they're humanely treated. And I want to just bring up on that point, Tom, one of the arguments for vegetarianism or veganism in particular is the argument of a factory farm food. And, you know, I, of all people, I wrote a book about the dangers of factory farming. That was my first book, The Great Bird Flu Hoax, back in 2006. And I'm against factory farms. But for some people, factory farm food is the most convenient choice for them, and I don't discourage them from buying that food because I don't want them to turn towards soy and salad as the alternative. So a lot of recovering vegetarians like me have caught on to this argument, how so many of us can get duped into avoiding animal foods because of the fact that we're against factory farms. But you know what? That argument doesn't hold water because right now there are lots and lots of farmers out in the countryside that are producing humanely raised animals, chickens, pigs, cows, and so on. So you can find your gold standard of animal foods out there today. And you know what? It's fortunate that consumers are actually driving this. And more and more of us are coming forward because we are opposed to factory-farmed food. And the more we make our food choices at the local farm, the more we're going to be able to help fix our food supply.
Tracy, that may have been a little more than what you were looking for, but did that answer your question?
Actually, I was just wondering, are these things you're suggesting, are they high in B12 content? Because that's something I am lacking, and I don't really know where else to get it.
Well, you should be getting it from eating things like red meat and liver, pastured eggs. All of these foods are the best source of B12. That is the correct analog. The correct form of vitamin B12 can only come from animal foods.
Okay.
Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you so much for your help.
Okay, take care. Thanks for the great question. Is there not a replacement? Can I not get a substitute? I can get a daily multivitamin. Some essential fatty acids we know, such as omega 3, 6, and 9, are available in pill form. I can get antioxidants if I want in pills. Can I just have, Pam, a vegan diet with supplementation?
No.
Why not? Can I get all the omega fatty acids? I can get that.
One of the popular reasons why a lot of health practitioners promote vegetarianism and veganism is because they have to buy lots and lots of supplements. So there you go. You can make a lot of money off vegetarians because, you know, they have no choice but to buy a lot of supplements. But the unfortunate thing is because they don't know where they're being malnourished, they're not buying the correct replacements. And, you know, a lot of vegetarians are going to think, oh, well, I just need to take a B12 supplement. Well, that's just not enough. You're going to be deficient in a lot of amino acids. And many of them don't know the amino acids. I know what they are. They're things like taurine and tryptophan. They're going to be deficient in CoQ10. They're going to be deficient in carnitine. They're going to be deficient in the long-chain fatty acids. And they're going to be deficient in vitamin A, the retinol, the preformed version of vitamin A. Vitamin A, there are a lot of misconceptions in and around vitamin A. Many people believe that when they eat carrots or tomatoes that they're getting vitamin A, and that's just not true. What they're getting in carrots and vitamin A and tomatoes is they're getting beta-carotene. And theoretically, beta-carotene at a very small level can convert to vitamin A, the vitamin A our bodies need, but there are a lot of, if you have any health problems, of course, that mechanism breaks down and you can't convert the vitamin A, the beta-carotene into vitamin A. So we must get our vitamin A from animal foods. And vitamin A is crucial in the conversion of into the creation of our hormones. We absolutely need vitamin A for that to happen, not beta-carotene. And so for people who are relying on eating fruits and vegetables to get their quote-unquote vitamin A, they're being dangerously misled.
You know, it's interesting that this week news came out that vitamin A supplements, which I don't know if there's a proper supplement for vitamin A, but I mean, it sounds like the best way to get it is through your diet. But because in the third world, there's such problems with vitamin A that they need to, that they're looking for, well, we need to supplement the third world with vitamin A. Now, B12, vitamin A, vitamin D, all the micronutrients that you were talking about, including CoQ10. Again, can I just go to, you know, my nutrition store? Can I just get a protein shake? Can I just get it there? I mean, every amino acid, are they not available in health food stores,
for a powder? Soy products, like these protein powders, right? These protein powders are basically just a waste product, Tom. They're a waste product. You know, the soy protein isolates and whey protein. I don't agree with any of those protein powders. So, I have friends that are in the bodybuilding industry, and you couldn't pay them to take protein powders. You couldn't pay them to take that. So what they want is real food. And they know that to optimize their bodybuilding, they must consume real food. And if you look into the history of bodybuilding in the early 1900s, the most popular pioneers in the bodybuilding industry all relied on eating things like meat, eggs, and raw dairy products. They did not
go for the powders
at the time, but they would not have consumed a protein powder.
Jack in the Falls, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Tom?
I'm excellent. You got a question for Pam?
Yes, I do. Pam, just a question. I'm going to ask the question, then I'll hang up and listen. Just I see more and more meat companies now are coming out with processed meat products that are all natural preservatives with no nitrates or anything else. Do you know anything about that? And if so, can you share it with us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have here in in Southern Ontario, and it's a growing business. It's Fieldgate Organics, and they're doing a lot of organic, ethically raised meats. And, you know, they started off as a small operation. They're actually still relatively young operation, but they are growing because consumers are looking for more of these, quote-unquote, you know, organically raised animal foods. The kind of misconception around a lot of these foods is that they are labeled organic. But what you really do want, Jack, is you want to get grass-fed. You want to make sure that the animals are at, or actually more correctly, the term would be pastured. You want to make sure that the animals are out on pasture. So when you're buying eggs, when you're buying chicken, you know, you want to make sure that they are out on pasture. Basking in the sun, eating their worms and eggs or whatever, or worms and insects and so on, you want to make sure that that's the case. And so, yes, I think, you know, that the movement towards meats that don't have the preservatives and so on, that's a good thing. But let's try and bring it up a notch by sourcing your food from a local farmer where you can actually look the farmer in the eye, get to know the farmer, go to the farm and make sure that the chickens and the cows and the pigs, make sure they're outside. And that's really the optimal way to do your shopping.
Okay, so if that's the gold standard, take it down a notch. If I don't have that ability or a wherewithal, is a natural preservative better than an artificial preservative, the nitrites and the nitrates that are in so
right,
many processed meats?
You want to avoid the preservatives. That would be...
Okay, yeah, but is a natural preservative acceptable then?
That's acceptable then. You always do the best you can with what you have.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Pam Colleen joins us one more segment. We'll come back, talk about veganism. And if you've got a question about eating healthier and if you're a vegan, I'd love your comments in terms of what you're hearing this morning. To join the conversation, 905-688-2582, 1-877-610-2582, #610 on the Bell Mobility Network, and the email address mcconnell@astral.com. Is that serious? This is a strange note. 10:51's our time. Pam Colleen is joining us today to talk about Bill Clinton and his conversion to a vegan diet and Pam's concerns with it and what a vegan diet is lacking and how to make up for it. Sharon, you have a question for Pam?
Yes, I do. I first want to comment saying that our intestines are designed as a carnivore, not an herbivore. We eat meat. Our body is designed to push meat through along with the vegetables and grains. Without the meat in it, the body doesn't function properly, and I truly believe in what she's saying. Pam, what I am looking for, though, I am lacking in my C3 and 4, which is an autoimmune disease. It's not lupus, and I was wondering, what's the best way of getting more of this?
The C3 and C4?
Yes.
It's what do you mean? I don't know that.
Okay. It's a protein within the blood.
Okay.
And the more I've tried finding about it, the less, you know, everybody's telling me. So I was just wondering if you knew anything about it.
Not that specific, no. What I do with people is I work with the biochemistry. So whatever the label is that they've been given, what I'm doing is I'm fixing the biochemistry to mimic the biochemistry of a healthy person.
Okay.
So this is essentially what I do, and it's wonderful. You know, it works wonderfully. So essentially, it's not that I don't care what people's label might be. I just wonder, you know, with the changes that we've seen in our diets over the last 100 years in particular, is we've seen a gamut, thousands of diseases surface.
Mm-hmm.
And really, these diseases are surfacing simply because of malnutrition and poor lifestyle habits and so on and so forth. So as we move the biochemistry, as we behave like healthy people, as we eat like healthy people, that biochemistry should fix itself, and then any kind of label one has been given, you know, hopefully can be rectified. So because I'm a nutritional consultant and not a medical doctor, it's good to know the labels, but I'm working totally at a total biochemical level to help people get well.
Sharon, right, can I ask you, it's called C3, and it's a protein of the immune system?
It's within the blood. The C3 and C4. It makes allergies worse. Your system. It's an autoimmune disease.
With lupus, the one thing I've learned about lupus, because I in the 90s when I had fibromyalgia, I was looking for that kind of label, hoping that maybe I have lupus and that's what I need to work on. And what I learned about lupus is that it's basically fibromyalgia, and it's possibly exacerbated because of medical drugs. But where autoimmune is concerned, what I always look towards is the lining of the gut, because if the lining of the gut isn't working properly and proteins are seeping through the body that shouldn't, it's going to cause an immune reaction and invade, you know, basically cause interfere with your overall health. So I would look to, you know, fixing the lining of the gut with things like probiotics, probiotic-rich foods like kefir yogurt, sauerkraut. I would be consuming lots and lots of bone broth in order to help seal and heal the lining of the gut, which is 70-80% of your immune system.
Okay.
Sharon, thanks for your call.
Oh, thank you very much.
Take care.
Thanks, Sharon.
Bye-bye.
All right, Pam, last thing I want to talk to you about. How do you counter the ethical debate that that the eating of animals is an ethical choice, and that I choose not to harm another species for my survival? Because I can imagine that there's a lot of people out there who've made the ethical choice to become vegans or vegetarians.
Is it, Tom? So, you know, the people who are making that choice aren't looking at the human race and decide and looking in the long term of the repercussions of malnourishing themselves. You know, if they don't mind the risks of developing mood disorders and becoming infertile, and they're well informed about the risks, then yes. But most of the people who are making these decisions are not informed about the risks associated with these very nutrient deficient diets. I don't think anybody wants to become infertile. I don't think any man wants to have reduced sperm count or lowered libido. I don't think any woman wants to stop ovulating. So to me, they need to be informed that these are potential side effects of avoiding nutrient-dense animal foods. So on the ethical side, it becomes illogical, because all of our ancestors, you know, survived and thrived on animal foods, but the animal foods, of course, were more humanely raised for centuries and centuries and centuries than they are now. So from that point, from the ethical standpoint there, I'm against factory farm food. I want the animals to be humanely raised, and I think that's what more and more consumers can help us move towards. It's going to be consumers that drive the demand for more ethically raised animals. And if we don't get more active in this department, unfortunately, the multinational corporations are going to keep taking over our food supply and wrecking the environment and really minimizing our nutrient profiles in a lot of the foods that we should be eating.
If I'm someone who's followed a strict vegan diet, and I'm not going to run out today and get a double Whopper, what is the minimum addition that I can make to still be healthy? What is the least I can do? Eggs, milk, fish? What's the least?
The most nutrient-dense food that one could easily find at a grocery store even would be liver. Your organ meats, of course, are the most nutrient-dense foods out there. Ideally, it should be, again, from a pastured source. Organ meats, when we were hunter-gatherers, when we killed an animal, the first part of the animal we ate was the organ meats,
whether it was the liver,
the kidneys, the brain. And then, of course, second to that, the meat, red meat. I won't work with people who don't eat red meat because they're harder to get well.
Wow, that's hardline. All right, Pam, that's it for today.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure that if you've convinced someone in the audience, what are they going to do? I'm just thinking liver's a tough one to get into initially. I think eggs. People would be like, oh, eggs, no problem.
Eggs,
fish, all
meat,
right,
butter,
I can take fish.
Butter is a sacred food.
Liver.
You know, high-fat cheese, especially if it's raw cheese. That way you can get the proper form of vitamin B6, which is crucial for the formation of your hormones as well. So, you know, these are all traditional foods. We shouldn't be afraid of them. And enjoy them. And
maybe that's why
I was in St. Catharines a few weeks ago, and I dropped off another box full of books at your chapters at Fairview. And many thanks to Jason there for helping me out with that. So I did drop off some books. I don't know, some of your listeners were upset because they went and couldn't find any. So
well, now they're back. Well, you know what? And now at the end of this conversation, I just came to the realization, maybe because of the hormone disruption, that's why Clinton's on the diet.
Well,
maybe that's,
you know,
it, because I'd we like already
to,
knew
I'd
he had
like
a high
him
libido.
To contact me in a few years to tell me how he is. You know, it may take 5 years for his symptoms to get worse. It may take 10 years. A book I would recommend highly to help inform Bill Clinton would be The Vegetarian Myth by Lierre Keith. And she was a 19-year vegan who got very, very sick on that diet.
Pam, always a pleasure. Take care.
Thanks so much, Tom. Take care.
It was the libido. Maybe it was. Maybe Hillary put him on the diet. Maybe that's the problem. All right, quick break in the program. News is coming up next.